This Shabbos is called Shabbos Chazoin, the Shabbos of vision. This prompted the Holy Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev, to teach that the name Shabbos Chazoin implies that at this time we are shown a vision of the third Beis HaMikdash, even if only from a distance. The Holy Berditchev said that every single Yid on this Shabbos gets to see the third Beis HaMikdash. We have a vision. Maybe from far, but we all get a vision of the third Beis HaMikdash. His insight enables us to understand the connection between Shabbos Chazoin and Parshas Dvarim, which is always read on Shabbos Chazoin. This Shabbos is always the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av is always Shabbos Chazoin and Dvarim. It's two things that are always a must. The Shabbos before Tisha B'Av must always be Dvarim, and always must be Shabbos Chazoin. What's the connection? Here we go. The Torah portion begins the Chumash of that name, also called Mishneh Torah. Although the entire Torah is one whole, Mishneh Torah differs from the previous Chumash in that the Mishneh Torah was spoken to Moshe by Moshe to the generation that entered into Israel. Therefore, it was necessary to clarify certain matters that did not need to be emphasized previously. So look at this. How many books are there in the Torah? Five. Five books in the Torah. Five books of Moses we call. But the fifth book is different. Why? It's the only Chumash that was spoken about to a brand new generation. The whole Dor that saw Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, they all passed away. Now, the Dor that went into Eretz Yisrael through Yeshua's leadership, the oldest that they could have been was 19 by Kriyas Yamsuf. 19 by Tetan Makas. Because anyone 20 and over, from right after leaving Mitzrayim, a few months afterward, they all passed away. Understand? So you have to be 19 by Kriyas Yamsuf to be alive when you enter into Eretz Yisrael. The oldest person entering Eretz Yisrael was 59 years old. 19 plus 40 years of the Mikvah.
The oldest?
There was, besides Yeshua Kalev, yeah. Yeah, a few exceptions. As a rule, all Yidden, there was no one over 59 entering Eretz Yisrael.
Wow.
Why? It was a new generation. Yeah, the Moshe Rabbeinu said, the people who seen by the Meraglim, they all passed away. And the ones who went to Eretz Yisrael had to be like a new crop. So there's a new generation of people. But that's Moshe Rabbeinu, that's who he's speaking to. Moshe Rabbeinu left when he was 80, now he's 120. Chumash Dvarim was the last 5 weeks before he passed away. So he's sharing his last speech. That's the Chumash Dvarim, his last speech. So it's a speech that's spoken about to the people that are about there, and so it's a new Dur. So now, what's the difference? Here we go. The difference between the generation of the wilderness, right, the ones who passed away in the Midbar, and the generation that entered the Eretz Yisrael, is that the generation of the wilderness was a generation of knowledge. They were very, very bright people. They were called Dur Deya. To a certain degree, its members were on the level similar to that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Relationship with Hashem involved sight. By contrast, the generation that entered the Eretz Yisrael had to deal with material concerns. Consequently, they did not experience direct perception of godliness. Their connection with Hashem was only a level of hearing. It's written, and now Israel listen. Let me pause for a second. What is stronger, hearing or seeing?
Seeing.
You know, there's a rule that a witness can never be a judge. If I'm a top judge, I'm like the best guy, everybody wants me to be in the court. But if I watch something, I can never be I can never be a judge. Why? Because to be a judge, you need to be able to apply objective thinking. You have to hear both sides and now apply your ruling. If you saw, you become subjective to it, and you could never think logically and objectively. Can't think in a removed way. You already have an opinion because you saw it. So the Yidden who lived in the Midbar, they saw Hashem. So they were, their connection to Hashem was in a level of seeing. They saw. They were connected. It was like a whole different. If you saw Mount Sinai, you can never unsee it. And you saw Hashem. I mean, there's nothing to talk about. The next generation who went into Eretz Yisrael, they were the first ones to have to deal with the earth, because in the desert, they didn't have to. Man came from heaven. There was no planting and plowing and working the earth and turning the seeds into vegetation, into flour, into bread. All that happened, only those who enter into Israel. So they heard about Matan Torah. They heard about these things. Then the connection to Hashem was in an oifen of Shmiya. They heard. It was further a little bit. Like us today, for us, we see the physical and we learn, we know, we believe, we hear, so to speak, about spiritual. But we see physical things. In fact, I'll just say this, by Matan Torah it says that all the Jewish people went up on a level and we saw spiritual and we heard about physical. Which means, by Matan Torah, by Mount Sinai, it was like old Jews said, oh, there is a world called the physical world. You know, it exists somewhere. It's like how we think about something spiritual, malachim or anything spiritual. We believe it, but it's removed. It's not as obvious to us like what we saw. So there has to be one differentiation between the Dur, the generation who lived in the Midbar, in the desert, and died there, versus those entering into Eretz Yisrael who now Chumash Dvarim is being spoken to, is this. The Dur generation of the Midbar saw Hashem. So there, connection to Hashem was more subjective, it was real. The generation that went into Eretz Yisrael, they had to really work with the earth, they went into Eretz Yisrael, there was a whole different, they only heard their connection, which was a more further, so to speak. So what's the real difference here? The difference between vision and hearing is that when a person sees something, the impact it creates on him is unshakable. There are no limits, constraints, or boundaries. Nothing can affect him to the point where he would develop doubts about the matters that he saw with his own eyes. By contrast, when a person hears something, the person is not as strong. Although at the moment when he hears it, it's firmly established within him. Nevertheless, when a question is raised, the matter can be challenged and even refuted. This proves that even initially, when the matter impacted him, the extent of the impact was limited. How come if you saw something, you'll never doubt it? But if you heard it, you could doubt it. If I saw an accident, and you come and you give me proofs why it never happened, I don't even listen to you. I don't care what you did. I saw the accident. But if I come and tell you about the accident, and someone comes and challenges it, you might not believe my version anymore. Because what you see impacts you so much deeper than if you only hear about something. So now, the generation of the first one of the desert, they saw Hashem. It was much deeper, their connection to Hashem. Therefore, in the Chumash Devarim, Mishnah Torah, when speaking of the generation that entered Israel, whose relation to Hashem was only level of hearing, Moshe had to alter his focus. He had to teach that generation about the concept of self-sacrifice, of similar matters, ideas which the generation of the wilderness understood naturally without being told. The ideas were evident to them without the need for any clarification. You know where Shema is told in the Torah? There's no Shema in Chumash Shemois, in Vayikra, in Midbar. It comes in Devarim. The whole idea of Mesiras Nefesh, giving yourself over to Hashem, had to be taught by Moshe to who? Not to the first generation who left Egypt, because they didn't need to be taught that. They knew when you see Hashem, you can never unsee it. And what happens is, you're ready to do everything for Hashem, because you know it's the truth. Everything else is nonsense. But when you didn't see it, now someone has to inspire you. So the whole Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu's speech to the Yidden, who are about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, it's all about how they have to be fully devoted, fully given, ready for Mesiras Nefesh, no matter what. But it has to be taught. Why? Because they didn't see. And therefore, before Dvarim, it's not around, because the Yidden before that, they knew very well. They saw Hashem. Conversely, so that shows, by the way, that the first generation was a higher generation. So what's the other way around? How the next generation higher than the first? Although the generation enters into Israel was less spiritually sensitive than the generation of the wilderness, of the Midbar, but they possessed an advantage. Oh, it was. What? The generation of the wilderness did not possess. Why? This reason, the generation of the wilderness was told, for you have not yet come to the resting place and the inheritance. The first generation was told, Ki loy vasem adot al-nuchal al-nachala. You do not get the resting place and the inheritance. This refers to Shiloh and Jerusalem, places that Jews conquered after they already settled at Israel. The first generation, even though they saw Hashem, they did not get to enter into Eretz Yisrael. only the generation who did not see Hashem by Mount Sinai. They were the ones who were able to now enter Eretz Yisrael. Why? What's the reason? The advantage stems from the fact that though the descent itself, when they began to occupy themselves with material concerns, which required their spiritual level to be lowered, but it made it possible to bring about the ultimate intent, the building of the sanctuary in Shiloh and later the in Jerusalem, which is the resting place of Hashem and His heritage. I want to pause this for a second. I was once in Berlin, Germany, for a Shabbos. I'm sitting next to somebody, an Israeli, who's tattooed and earrings from head to toe. And I start talking about, from one thing to the next, we got to tefillin. And he made fun. What do you need tefillin for? Why tefillin? I'm spiritual. I like to meditate. I'm always on looking for the next meditation. Tefillin? A leather piece, a box, wrap around. What do you need it for? And I asked this person one simple question. I asked this person, I said, if you love somebody, if you love a girl, do you give the girl a gift that you like or a gift that you know she likes? You don't give a gift that you like. If it's about you, yes, I understand you, because we are all physical by nature, or I should say, we're more in touch by default with our physicality. So we want to feel spiritual, I want to rip myself away from physical, I want to meditate. So I get it. But if it's about a connection to Hashem, so it's not about what you want. What does Hashem want? Hashem doesn't need your spirituality, so to speak, to meditate. You know why? Hashem has enough angels and souls in heaven that are doing all that meditation all day long. You are a soul, but your soul was sent on a mission in a physical body. Why? To do what He wants. What does He want? He wants you to be His rep to the physical world. He wants you to bring Hashem into the physical. Give money, Meister Tzedakah, from the money that you earned. Remember once said, one Yid who gives Meister from the money made on Wall Street makes the whole Wall Street worth it. Like a big businessman, there's so many people working for one bottom line. People doing the sales is what drives the whole business. Hashem is worth it for Hashem, says the Rebbe. To have the whole Wall Street, thousands of people working there, everybody investing. If one Yid will give money, tzedakah, from the money he earned from Wall Street, it's worth for Hashem to make the whole Wall Street exist. Because a Yid gave tzedakah. You get it? That's the bottom line. Hashem's entire world, the physical world, is only there for one purpose, with one mission. Can the Yid, who's combined of spiritual and physical, take my existence, my will, my Torah, and bring it, apply it to the physical? We are Hashem's ambassadors to the physical world. So Hashem wants your physical tefillin. Yeah, what does it mean? It's all mechanical. It's technical. I want to feel more spiritual. But it's about you. But Hashem wants you to be His rep to the physical. Take a regular leather that could be made, your shoes could be made from the same leather, but now you're taking it for tefillin. You're bringing Hashem into your leather, onto your hand, onto the parchment. You're bringing Hashem to the physical. That's our main thing. So now, who is greater? The first generation of Yidden. But who is greater for Hashem's ultimate purpose? Second generation. Why? Because they're the ones that brought Hashem to the physical. They go to the land. They go out of the ghetto, spiritual cloud of divinity, into the physical, into the world. Start planting, start plowing, making drachas, doing mitzvahs, bringing Hashem. There's no mitzvah that's spiritual. You know that? There's not a single mitzvah that does not do this now.
It's physical.
There's no mitzvah to meditate. You know, there's no kindness in heaven. There's no mitzvah in heaven. Why? Because every mitzvah must be done with a physical thing, because it's about us bringing Hashem to the physical world. And that's the benefit of the second generation. Yeah, they didn't see Hashem. But now they're able to bring Hashem to the physical world to be Hashem's ambassadors into the physical world. That's their advantage. And that's our ultimate. And so now we end and say, it follows. The concept of Shabbos, Parshas Dvarim, when we begin Mishnah Torah, points to the synthesis of the two opposing motives. One, it represents a great descent, But B, specifically through this ascent, we're able to achieve a true ascent. Specifically because we are the ones who are going into Eretz Yisrael, into the world, not leaving the clouds. We're the ones that fulfill Hashem's ultimate purpose. And by the way, the same thing applies to any negativity. When you're facing here, the Rebbe says the same thing here. The same concept applies to Shabbos Chazayin, which contains both contradictory aspects. On the one hand, it falls during the 9 days. So it's not a good time. Indeed, it falls on the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, anniversary of the destruction of the Holy Temple. On the other hand, it is specifically through this ascent that the ultimate ascent will occur. As mentioned, the Holy Tradition taught that Shabbos Chazayin, we are shown the third base of Mikdash, which will be loftier than the previous ones. Maybe you're built by Mashiach, really, in our days. Yes, is it dark days? Yes, but now everyone gets to see the third base of Mikdash, which is greater than the first and second base of Mikdash. Because the ultimate is when you have a descent, when something bad happens to you, so to speak, and when you go down, it's not a bad thing. You're on a mission. Don't ever think of anything negative that happens to your life that, oh, it's bad luck. If something bad is happening to you, something negative, it means you're going down somewhere on a mission to bring spirituality to that dark place. It's the only reason why you're experiencing this. We're always on a mission. And if it's a dark time, what does it mean? It means the general knows that he chose you because he knows that he trusts you, that you can fulfill the mission that he trusts you to do in this negative place. That's why he's giving you a dark place. Every descent is for a higher reason that you can't do in the earlier thing. L'chaim.